With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go
aboard. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times. Rocket Mortgage prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Damon Amendolar with you every single morning, 6 until 10 a.m. Eastern Time, right here on CBS Sports Radio. And now Sundays as well. 1 until 4 Eastern Time right here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up in 20 minutes, we are stunned to a news. And then in 40 minutes, do we believe Tua Tagovailoa has claimed that he's 100% and can play as a rookie? That's coming up this hour on the show. 1 hour from now, it's the madness of March. We reminisce about the 1989 National Championship game with Terry Mills, former Wolverine, who was on that National Championship team that hung a banner for the Wolverines. Before there was a Fab Five, there was the 89 Michigan Wolverines. I honestly don't know what to think about Jadeveon Clowney. I never really have in my career of watching him and over the last 5 years since he's been in the league. And here's why. Jadeveon Clowney's hit in that Outback Bowl lives forever. And the type of dominant force that he was at South Carolina was obvious. He was the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. He was a two-time first-team All-SEC. He was a two-time first-team All-American. You knew in college by sheer size, weight, speed, power, he could be an unblockable force. I mean, this was a kid that when he was a freshman in high school, put this into perspective, freshman in high school, 6'3", 200. 6'3", 200. Freshman in high school. So when he lays the hit in that bowl game and the helmet pops off, we can't help but think that is what it could be. This kind of beastly, impossible to block, locomotive, crushing people in the backfield. That play, when he hits Vincent Smith, forces the fumble, and then recovers it himself, which sets up a touchdown to the next play, is one of the most memorable moments in recent college football history, and that is now 8 years ago. So when he comes out of South Carolina, and there's some questions about his production, his final year there, And there's some questions about his commitment to the next level. You want to draft a number one, but can you draft a number one? And ultimately, the Texans do. They have the number one pick of the draft and say, hey, if we can team and tandem Jadeveon Clowney with J.J. Watt, who's going to block him? You have two. Remember, Watt at this time in 2014 is the most dominant player defensively in football. And so the Texans are going to have book and pass rushers for the next 10 years that nobody's going to be able to block. And Clowney is never quite that guy. Clowney's first season is cut very short due to injury. He's only playing in four games. And then the next couple of seasons, he's good, but not great. He has 4.5 sacks in 2015, 6 sacks in 2016, 9.5 sacks, a career high in 2017. In those 3 years, he forces 3 total fumbles, all of which is in one season. And by and large, he's fine. He's not great. And yet, he makes the Pro Bowl all 3 of those seasons. So you say, okay, his peers are seeing something beyond just the production. In 2017, he was ranked in the top 50 of the NFL's top 100 players by virtue of the players in the league. So again, the players in the league are seeing a value in Clowney that maybe you can't see in the stat sheet or when you watch. Okay. And then last year, when Bill O'Brien trades him, you have to feel like, wow, that's kind of all you got for Jadeveon Clowney. You got a couple of scrap parts, Jacob Martin, Barkevius Mingo, and the third round pick, a number 3. You got a third round pick. So that feels like, well, Bill O'Brien didn't get enough. But is it also because Clowney wasn't worth much on the open market? I mean, you'd think you'd get more than just a 3, and Bill O'Brien's terrible at his job. But now we have Jadeveon Clowney, who's a free agent and has no takers. Clowney has dropped his asking price from $20 million a year to $17 or $18 million a year, this according to ESPN's Diana Russini. The Seahawks and the Titans, quote, remain interested in signing him, sources say. Now, is Jadeveon Clowney a good player? I guess you could say that. He was pretty effective for the Seahawks when he was on the field last year. His sack totals weren't great, but he was pretty effective. And he was definitely a disruptive pass rusher for Seattle. He wasn't getting necessarily the sack numbers or tackles for losses, but definitely disruptive. But is Clowney great? Pretty much no, because nobody's giving him that type of money, which would be, if he was great, he would get that type of money. $17 to $18 million a year or $20 million a year. That's if you are great, great. And he's not great, great. So what is Clowney? I think that Clowney is one of these guys whose reputation as a name is greater than his actual production. That he's not a bad player, but just that when we think of Clowney, former number one pick overall, the Outback Bowl hit, some real devastating crunching blows, and you can see where, oh, that's the Clowney that you love. That has led us to believe that he's supposed to be better than he is, and he's okay. He's good, he's not great, and he wants great money. He's not getting great money, and he's realizing that. That's a tough lesson. It's interesting the big names that are out there still unsigned. Cam Newton unsigned, Jameis Winston unsigned, and now Jadeveon Clowney unsigned as well. I think all those guys will end up having homes, but all those guys are going to have to figure out where they fit in this league. And I think for Jameis Winston and Cam Newton, he would have a job if he was healthy, but we don't know how healthy he's going to be by the time football rolls around. And when that happens, he'll probably have a job, but it might not be a starting job. Jameis Winston is fine, but nobody is going to give him a starting job right now. Maybe he's holding out for that. Maybe he's going to wait to see what the quarterback carousel looks like in training camp, in preseason. Maybe there's an injury. Maybe somebody needs him. Maybe that's what he's holding out for. And for Jadeveon Clowney, he needs to recognize he's not worth $20 million a year to anybody. He's not that great. He's never had a double-digit sack season. He's only 27 years old. This should be his absolute peak. This should be, over the next 2 to 3 years, the very best of Jadeveon Clowney, at the least the next two seasons. He's not getting that cash. Good, not great. He's looking for great money. And that's what makes Clowney kind of a difficult enigma to figure out. You know, in the Seahawks playoff games, he was a pretty active, disruptive force defensively. But is he what we thought he was going to be? Does he have the motor every single play? Is he a guy that when you turn on the film, you go, no, that guy is going to bring it every single game? Not really. Not really. And for that, I think he thinks his value is more than it is. Mraz, what do you think is the end game, the end result of Jadeveon Clowney's career? Do you think that we look at him as a bust because he was the number one overall pick, or just a good player that maybe didn't deserve to be the number one overall player, but had a good 10-year career and was productive for a number of teams and made a lot of money?
It's hard for me to label him a bust, although I understand your point. When he has that hit in the Outback Bowl, comes out, that was a draft, remember, where a lot of people speculated the Texans might select Johnny Manziel, number one overall, so it's hard to consider them taking Clowney a bust when that could have been the alternative. But ultimately, look, he's going to be a guy whose career was, I think, marred early by injuries. He had microfracture surgery, which is a very difficult thing to have a long, sustained, awesome career after. But he still had his moments, and he's still been a very productive player. So if you're very productive, you're a guy who can make some Pro Bowls, I can't just label you a bust. But I think he did fall into this category of assuming, because he was a big-name pass rusher on the open market, that he was going to get his. And I think the combination of teams being scared off by his low sack numbers and the fact that he's had microfracture in the past, combined with the fact that right now, how can you get him in there for a face-to-face and give him your own physical, has really hurt his value, where he might be taking a one-year deal or something like that. I don't know. But yes, I think in the end, you won't look at him as a bust. I think you'll just look at him as, okay, good player, never lived up to the hype.
Let me give you some of the players that went after Jadeveon Clowney. Now, this is a draft where the Texans could have done way worse, because the number two pick in the draft was Greg Robinson, who was hauling a Billy Jocalone's worth of weed across the Mexican border. So that was number two. That's the biggest bust of that draft. Number three was Blake Bortles. Texans could have done that. Thank goodness, no. Number four, Sammy Watkins, has been okay, but not worth the number four pick in the draft. Number five, Khalil Mack.
Wow.
So talk about a pass rusher. Now, Mack is a linebacker versus the defensive end that Clowney was, but you could add Khalil Mack. It would have been tough to draft Khalil Mack out of Buffalo, number one overall. That would have been a tough sell, but he was available. Also, Odell was that draft, number 12 overall. And Aaron Donald, number 13.
Wow. Wow. So 12 and 13 were probably the best players in that draft.
Well, I would say so. Well. Yeah. There was a run of Pro Bowlers between 9 and 17. Anthony Barr went 9, Eric Ebron 10, Taylor Lewan 11, Odell 12, Aaron Donald 13, Kyle Fuller 14, Ryan Shazier 15, Zach Martin 16, C.J. Mosley 17. Some good players there.
I remember being at that draft. I remember Blake Bortles going over to the only four Jaguar fans that existed at Radio City and trying to hang with them. Boy, if they only knew after that.
Now, let's think about that. That was at Radio City Music Hall. We were covering that draft for CBS Sports Radio 2014 during our overnight days. And Blake Bortles gets chosen number three. And there happens to be like five or six Jags fans in Jags jerseys sitting low near the floor, and they're going crazy. And Blake Bortles comes over during one of the breaks after he was drafted, and it's a mob scene around him. Now, there's only like five or six of those people. But
define mob scene.
They're going crazy. He's high-fiving them. Remember, he's wearing their hats. He's signing autographs. It felt like a match made in heaven because, of course, Blake Bortles was a Central Florida kid, so Jacksonville, UCF, not far from one another. Did that not feel like that was so meant to be, and that Bortles was going to be their quarterback for the foreseeable future, and it was going to be just great?
So two vivid memories of that night to me. You turned to me immediately after Blake Bortles did that, and you said, wow, Mraz, you know what? This is going to work out for him. Number two, as that first round evolves, the name that we keep waiting to get picked is Johnny Manziel. That was what that draft was all about. And the Brown fans in attendance, Pumpkinhead was there. They're all going wild. They draft Johnny Manziel, and there's this gasp that comes over Radio City, a combination of, wow, this is great, Johnny Manziel got drafted, and the Browns fans going, oh, I don't know about this.
Uh-oh.
We've had so many quarterback problems. And there was a group of Browns fans standing next to us, and my line to them was, you guys nailed this. This is your guy. You got this guy for the next 10 to 15 years. And these people looking at me like I'm a legitimate expert because I'm wearing a media pass going, hey, you think so? You know what? All right.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Wow.
You know, he's buying in. He's talking to the place. He's buying in. And they were really fired up. I'm like, calm down. I'm like, you guys have finally nailed. I remember this conversation like it was yesterday. And if they're listening out there, I want to apologize because I was way off.
Boulevard of Broken Dreams. That was also the draft at number 8 that the Browns took Justin Gilbert, who might be just as big of a bust as Johnny Manziel.
Man.
So how about this run? In that draft, every player between 5 and 17 made a Pro Bowl except for Justin Gilbert at number 8. The only pick for 12 consecutive picks in that draft that didn't make a Pro Bowl were the Browns taking Justin Gilbert, Khalil Mack, Jake Matthews, Mike Evans, and then all the guys that I just listed. So the Browns had, out of those 13 potential picks, picked the only guy that was a bust.
They could have ended up with, because of their, I think, where their two picks were situated, I think they could have ended up with Odell and Aaron Donald, if I'm not mistaken.
They could have gotten one of the two in the Justin Gilbert pick, and then it was...
Well, they traded back, didn't they, originally?
Oh, you might be right about that.
They might have been the Sammy Watkins. I got to remember. They might have been the Sammy Watkins trade up.
Ha-ha, Clinton Dix also went in that draft. D. Ford went in the draft. The pick
Teddy Bridgewater, I think, was the last pick of the first round.
Correct. Bridgewater went 32 overall. DeMarcus Lawrence went to the top of the second round. Derek Carr went near the top of the second round as well. So there were some significant talents, Davante Adams in the late second round of the Packers, significant talents that the Browns said, eh, you know what, we'll go Justin Gilbert, Johnny Manziel, which is one of the worst. This is combined with Brandon Weeden, Trent Richardson, as two of the worst double first-round pick drafts any team has ever had.
Honestly.
And they happened like within a couple of years of one another.
Shocking that happened with the Browns. Let's not forget, they also had a first round where they had Trent Richardson and Brandon Weeden. So was it the first go-around for them?
Right. I just said that happened within a couple of years of one another. They had two of the worst double first-round draft pick years any team has ever had. Richardson, Weeden, and then Gilbert and Manziel.
Unbelievable.
Puke.
Unbelievable.
When we come back here on the show, we are stunned. 2A News, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's the show about the show. Here's the best of this week's Permission Granted podcast.
We had, I think, an all-time moment. Bogish is doing his update, and you hear this buzzing sound get louder and louder and louder, to where I had to stop and say, is that a vacuum in the background?
I hear this rumbling just like you are in real time, and I am thinking to myself, is Bogish's wife running the vacuum right now? Because that was the sound. It sounded like a vacuum running.
Yeah.
I go, if Danielle did this right now, I'd be mortified. And then you call him out on it. And then once you hear it's the landscaper, I mean, that is where I just lose it.
Find the PGP every week on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else podcasts are downloaded.
Yep, the PGP is out. It includes behind the scenes of the week that has been, and the Mothership at the Movies, and Pete the Body Bilotti's WrestleMania preview podcast, also available on that same podcast feed. So check it all out. Binge listen to the DA show and all of our sister content right here from CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS, our toll-free line, sponsored by GEICO. Whether you own or rent, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home, that's hard work. Get a quote at geico.com. That's easy. So coming up this morning here on the show, do we believe Tua Tagovailoa is actually 100%? He claims he is. So we'll do that coming up here toward the end of the hour, about 15 minutes from now. Next hour, Terry Mills is going to join us. It is with great regret that I am here to inform you this was supposed to be Final Four weekend. You might have even forgotten that, because we haven't had the NCAA tournament, didn't even have the end of the conference tournaments. This was supposed to be Final Four Saturday, and not to rub salt in the wound, but damn, It's hard to imagine what this couple of weeks would have been like had we had the NCAA tournament buzzer beaters, who was going to be the Cinderellas, who were going to be the coaches that were young assistant coaches, the next hot major coach candidacy, who was going to be the team that we didn't expect, who was going to be the high seed power team that was a total bust and flamed out. This was a college basketball season that was set up for so much drama. Remember, we had San Diego State clinch the Mountain West regular season by mid-February. We had Dayton as one of the best teams in the country. We had all these mid-majors and some high majors, but teams that had not had a lot of success recently, very high in the polls, like a Seton Hall. It was going to be a really funky, hard-to-predict college basketball tournament, and obviously we didn't get any of that. And this week would have been the Final Four. So I have wanted to at least walk down memory lane with players and coaches that have been in some really fun, cool, memorable spots of the NCAA tournament as part of our Madness of March series. And it continues today in about a half hour from now. Terry Mills was on the 1989 Michigan team. Now, that was the Michigan championship team prior to the Fab Five. There was no Weber and Juwan Howard. There was no Jalen Rose. This was a Michigan team under Steve Fisher that ended up getting to the national championship game and needing clutch free throws on a questionable foul that Seton Hall fans will never forget to hang that banner in 89. So we'll talk to Terry Mills about that, one of the most memorable championship games ever because it went right down to the wire, needed free throws to ice it. He's going to join us coming up here at the top of the hour. And then also, we have Martin Rooney who's going to join us. And Martin is a longtime coach and also an inspirational speaker and a guy that helps tutor and mentor others in terms of being the best they can be in the coaching realm, in the athlete realm, et cetera, and anywhere else as well. So I think it's a good day to have him on to kind of give some positive words of wisdom, pearls of wisdom, as we're all kind of dealing with our new space and our new reality and how you deal with that reality and what you can do in times of adversity, because a lot of people are dealing with that right now. So Martin Rooney's going to join us coming up here next hour as well. So a lot to get to this morning on the show. I want to give a shout out to the Patriots organization, and you guys know that it's rare for me to do this, but this is a really cool story that I want to bring up. According to the Wall Street Journal, the New England Patriots team plane is being used to transport more than 1 million masks from China to the U.S. N95 masks, which obviously we're in desperate need of here in the country. It was the result of multiple global negotiations, the Massachusetts governor calling Jonathan Kraft for his help in acquiring the masks. Charlie Baker is the Massachusetts governor. Apparently, he got Jonathan Kraft on the phone. That is Robert Kraft's son. And so the Patriots have that really badass private plane that they have all of those championship trophies painted on, which can be pretty obnoxious, but at least it's being used for good use right now. It was upgraded for international travel and got a waiver to avoid the 14-day quarantine in China as long as the crew did not leave the aircraft. And so Robert Kraft told the Wall Street Journal, "I've never seen so much red tape and obstacles that we had to overcome. But in today's world, those of us who are fortunate to make differences have a responsibility to do so with the assets that we have available to us." The Kraft family apparently paid $2 million, about half the cost, to get the masks. The initial order was for 1.7 million masks. They got 1.2 because that's only the amount that could fit on the actual plane. So either way, no matter what, sports aside, sports fandom aside, all that stuff, not that important right now, obviously. Patriots put together their charter plane, their team plane, to go get more than 1 million masks from China to get them back over here, which is very cool, and paid about half the cost to do so. So very much appreciated, I'm sure, for everybody that's dealing on the front lines and have people in need of these masks. Andrew Bogish is standing by. He has your headlines this morning. He's a kind sir. Good morning, Bogues. What we got?
Again, DA, these headlines are sponsored by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. As you just mentioned, that Patriots team plane apparently in the air as we speak, bringing back those masks from China. The team is also doing regular football business these days, releasing QB Cody Kessler yesterday. That on the heels of a report from The Athletic that Jarrett Stidham currently has the inside track to replace Tom Brady. Those Patriots yet to show any real interest, apparently, in Cam Newton or Andy Dalton. The Cowboys are signing former Niner and Raider linebacker Aldon Smith, who last played in the NFL in 2015 because of a long list of legal issues. And as you laid out earlier this hour, Jadeveon Clowney, still on the open market, was once asking for $20 million a year, now reportedly lopping $2 or $3 million off of that. We have already heard from Titans GM John Robinson about re-signing QB Ryan Tannehill. That long-term deal allowed Tennessee to use the franchise tag on running back Derrick Henry.
When you have to use that you know, the tag on him, that's something that ideally they probably don't want. But still, at the same time, I know that he wants to be a part of this football team. I thought it was good that they communicated back that he does want to be here and he wants to keep working on this.
But that
thing
again brings us to the perils of big money for running backs, i.e. Todd Gurley and David Johnson. Ezekiel Elliott currently leads the way with a $15 million annual average value in Dallas. The NFLPA admits that language changed in the CBA after players approved it, but that change is insignificant, so the union dismisses Eric Reed's claim that the CBA is invalid. The free agent safety called for an investigation and a revote to start this week. The Royal and Ancient, which runs the British Open, says it is still deciding the fate of this year's tournament scheduled for mid-July at Royal St. George. Golf Week reported overnight the tourney would be canceled. Wimbledon was formally called off yesterday, marking the first time it won't be held since World War II. The ATP and WTA tours then cleared their schedule through July 13th. College Poops, Dayton forward Obi Toppin, Iowa big man Luca Garza, and Seton Hall guard Miles Powell among the finalists for this season's Wooden Player of the Year Award, the Naismith Award for the nation's top coach, handed out at noon Eastern
what
today.
What we wouldn't do for College Poops right now, right? Even if it was Poops, even if it was actually Poops, we would do anything for College Poops in some type of bracket. I don't know how you would seed the Poops, but I just know this.
Whoa.
That anything with a bracket involving college basketball right now would be a real solace for the soul.
Poopy doopy doopy, doopy poopy.
Seeded Poops you're looking for right now, you say?
I'm looking for anything. I'm looking for the bracket. I'm looking for upsets. I'm looking for seeding. I'm looking for anything right now. And if College Poops provides that, then so be it.
Be.
Hate to see what those
regions
look
though,
like.
I will admit, though, I don't miss looking at projected points for our brackets and wondering if I'm in danger of some kind of monumental punishment again this year. I don't.
Bogues, you're
that.
The biggest scaredy cat out of all of us when it comes to the hot salsa, because I didn't like doing it 2 years in a row, but I would have put my name on it again. You feared it the entire year. You didn't even want to be part of this conversation, the challenge, if we had hot sauce again.
I would have been down for something else, some other form of punishment, whether it's an embarrassing Speedo and honey and birdseed.
Oh.
But just the eating hot stuff to me, it makes no point. And it is, not fully dangerous, but at some point you're supposed to sign a waiver for these things. So I'm spooked by the idea of eating hot food. It just seems unnecessary to me.
This can be negotiable. Mraz, what do you think? Next time we finally get to do a Mothership Bracket Challenge, can we have our punishment be Death by Salsa or one of those hot things, and then Bogus's be Speedo Central Park or maybe Speedo walking around the office?
I think Speedo Central Park has to be done. I think Central Park has been waiting for a reboot. And if that means we get to see Bogus's nice skinny legs out there and a little Speedo with some Crisco birdseed, I think that is something that absolutely has to happen, Damon.
Now, I have to say, I think that would be great, but I think him walking around the office in nothing but a Speedo is even better, because then he's got to face those people every single day for the rest of his career there.
That's true, and Bogish, listen to this very carefully. Use a sock. If that comes down to it, use a sock.
Well, I wasn't there when you had to do this. Why did you end up outside in the first place? Were you not allowed to be like that in the buildings? I feel like HR might get involved with some one of us walking around in just a loincloth.
True.
The idea of being in the office was never brought. It was I would do literally anything, and Central Park was just the one on everybody's tip of their tongue.
Yeah, so the way that this came up was that Mraz said, I am so confident the Giants are going to beat the Packers in this wild card game, I will literally do anything, anything. And so we then asked listeners what they thought we should have the bet, and one of them brought up, put Crisco all over Mraz's body, put him in bird seed, and then have the birds peck it off in Central Park. So, or just have birds peck it off. So we then created the Central Park because we needed the birds outdoors. But, you know, Crisco and a Speedo and birdseed indoors is just as good at CBS Sports Radio and the Entercom offices.
And I really was so proud last year of all of the important people who I wish knew my name before the bunny costume. But really,
sure.
I lived in anonymity for the most part. I finally got to meet those people, have them recognize me, make the connection while wearing a bunny costume, giving out candy with fire hot breath from eating Death by Salsa.
You didn't
really
mind
big
that.
Day for me.
You kind of liked the fact that people looked at you as a bit of a mascot that day.
I didn't mind doing it. I was the after effect of, wow, people finally noticed me while I was dressed like this, not because they like heard a drop from the show was a little
right.
defeating. But
yeah.
No, in general, I didn't mind walking around being a jerk or being a dope or being silly. I'm fine with that.
Okay, so you're a little bit of a performer, an exhibitionist. This is good to know. Very good to know for the next bet.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay.
Lastly, Habib Nurmagomedov is now out of UFC 249, saying he's in quarantine in Russia. His scheduled opponent, Tony Ferguson, wants Nurmagomedov to be stripped of his lightweight belt. The fights are still scheduled for April 18th. They don't currently have a location, though. And now we can be stunned.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
So Sean is flirting with 5 mile runs these days. I put in a good 2+ miles yesterday. I'm assuming
nice.
Pete is pumping his arms behind the board to bump up a step counter right now. We're
I'm
all trying
sure.
to do our best to stay in shape, right?
Oh, that's for sure.
And many of us as well trying to contribute to the relief effort. So let me introduce you to James Campbell of England. He said he'd run a marathon in his backyard if the tweet announcing that got 10,000 retweets, which
okay.
it did. So Campbell ran in his backyard, which is tiny, 6 meters long, which is 20 feet long, which is 3.5 linear jackalones long.
Oh, my God.
So he crisscrossed his backyard roughly 7,000 times to get to 26.2
wow.
miles, which I believe is 24,766 linear jackalones.
I'm looking at a picture of this guy's backyard. I mean, honestly, there's probably more grass like in between the cracks in the sidewalk in front of most people's houses. There's almost no backyard. He's got a back door. He's got about 4 tiles of patio. There is a small, maybe 3-foot stretch of grass, and then a shed, a small shed. He's just running back and forth. That's got to be the most maddening run ever to get 26 miles out of that.
Don't you get dizzy, too? Because it's
that
such
was my thought, too. It's such a tight
forth.
Space. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I'd pass out and get nauseous doing that. There's no, you're like a locked, caged animal.
So this was essentially him doing 20-foot shuttle runs. It's just 20 feet across his backyard, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, to get to 26 miles. That has got to give you some type of vertigo.
Yeah, also, do you need? I know this is all for a marathon. Do you need the 26 miles? Can you just cut your losses and maybe do 3 miles? 26
but then it's not a marathon.
Excessive.
What?
But we don't need to do the math. That's my point.
But he wouldn't have gotten all of the support and all of the retweets if it was, I just want to run a mile in my backyard. He needed to be a marathon.
I guess, but geez, this just seems like, how could that help your ankles too, all that stop and go? There's got to be some long-term health problems too. This isn't just, that's not a real marathon. A shuttle run's not a marathon.
Here's what I like, is that it was live streamed. Former England soccer great Jeff Hurst was among the viewers. So there were famous athletes watching this. Would you watch a guy do 20-foot shuttle run 7,000 times live streaming right now?
No.
I think I would watch it
finish,
for
no.
I think I would watch it for like 20 seconds. I would see one or two of them and be like, okay, I got it.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's got to be like watching, what was the old video? I'm going to get crushed. The old video game, was it Atari? Where it's just the ball being hit back and forth.
Pong.
That's what, was it Pong?
Yeah.
Pong? No, Pong is what the astronauts drank.
No, that's Tang.
Tang. Okay, but that's what this would be like. Just watching the ball bounce back and forth, back and forth. No, the era of buffoon is suspended until further notice, Pete. No, no.
No, it isn't. I
no,
need some levity.
No, it's not. No. No, there is no coronavirus lockdown for the year of the buffoon montage.
Cut it off.
No, no, no. So here's the other thing. Imagine being one of the neighbors as this is happening, because apparently his neighbors were poking their head over the backyard fence and cheering him on like it was a marathon. Those people are great, like throwing him water, throwing him orange slices, cheering him on. They're just looking over their backyard fence.
See, that is where I would watch it. If I had tickets to it, in other words, if I was a neighbor and I could look over the fence, that is much better than viewing the live stream, because I feel like I'm actually at a live sporting event that I didn't have to travel to at that point.
Let me ask you this. What do you think takes longer? They don't have his time here. Do you think you'd have a better time running a real marathon or 7,000 20-foot shuttle runs in your backyard?
Real marathon, because you have to think even the split seconds of each stop and go have to add up when you do that many miles.
I guess that's true, although it's just kind of a series of sprints almost, right? So maybe that would give you a better time?
No, because he's not going to walk during the marathon if he's that trained. So it's still a long-distance jog.
And I wonder, was he jogging around in a circle or just back and forth, back and forth? I think he was just going back and forth in a straight line.
Well, the way it was described was multiple zigzags. So, like, let's say he would jog from one end to the other and cut across this way, almost like making X's and Z's and just kind of doing whatever.
How bad is the shutdown, the lock-ins, now the quarantines, if you're watching this?
You've gotten very sad, and I think it's time for USA to change up their Law and Order episodes if it's gotten to the point where that's what you have to watch.
What was the options in England for this? He was either watch this or like the British, or like
British Bake Off?
British Bake Off or Monty Python reruns? I don't know.
It says it took him just over 5 hours to do this. I don't know what his regular marathon time would be, but that I feel like 5 hours is a good window for like a regular non-professional runner to get that marathon done.
Yeah,
because what? Britney Spears would have done it in four.
Right.
Yeah.
Tiki, I think, did his in like four and change, but he's an incredible chiseled athlete that was training. So I think just over five is fine. All right. Thank you, Andrew. When we come back here on the show, do we believe Tua Tagovailoa when he says, I am 100% and I can play rookie season? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This is CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks for being with us on a fine Thursday here on the DA Show. We appreciate you being part of the DA Show experience. As always, we are available in podcast form. So if you miss anything or want to hear it again, you can do so by simply downloading us on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, Spotify, radio.com or other places that podcasts are available. So check us out at any of those places. Also, tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio, and you shall have us up and running in your home in no time. Tell your smart speaker, play CBS Sports Radio, and you can get ready in the morning for your day with us. You know, I think Tua Tagovailoa is a really good college player. I think that he's a really good leader, and I think that you'd be lucky to have him in your locker room. I would not feel comfortable using a high round draft pick on him, a top five pick, top six pick on him, unless in some ways it was a luxury pick. And I realize that that's kind of impossible when you're talking about a top five, top six, top 10 pick. Rarely do you have a luxury pick if you are picking that high, because you need talent. You need a quarterback more than likely. Had a bad season and probably don't have another pick in the first round. It's what makes the Dolphins a very inviting potential destination, is that not only do they have a top 10 pick, they have three picks in the first round. Tua Tagovailoa is coming off two ankle injuries and then also the hip injury from last year. And he tells SportsCenter, "I'd say I'm 100% right now. I'm ready to go." When asked about the popular notion that he'd be having to redshirt his rookie season, if you will, in the NFL, where he would not be able to play and then come back in year number two, he said, "I feel like if I had to go out there and perform the same way I did my sophomore year, my junior year in college, being 100% healthy, I feel like I'd be able to go out there and do that." Now, Tua released on his social media page clips of him practicing, and he looked good. He was under center without anybody around him, but he takes a snap, drops back to pass. Footwork is crisp. He looks fluid, throws a pass. Can't really quite tell where it goes, but he just looks the part. However, that's way different than actually being on the field and taking hits, or being on the field and taking 30 snaps or 40 snaps or 60 snaps and throwing 30 passes. And I understand why Tua is doing this kind of PR tour. It's because, obviously, he's got a lot on the line right now. And his entire life, his entire career, could be defined by where he goes, how high he's picked, and this first draft pick contract. I mean, sometimes you get drafted by the wrong team, or you slide in the draft and you go to a team that doesn't need you. And then suddenly you're behind the eight ball. You never get the right coach. You never get the right system. And you could be out of the league. However, Tua Tagovailoa, his responsibility is to himself and to his draft stock and to believe in himself. I don't blame him for that. I'm not saying this is just a marketing job. He's doing a good job marketing. But maybe this really is his personal belief in himself. I don't believe it. I don't buy it. I don't believe it. I don't believe just months after major hip surgery, you can be 100%. Look, I'm not claiming to be a doctor, a surgeon, a rehab specialist, a physical therapist, not claiming it. But I know what I've seen in sports for however long that we've been watching this, and this is not a likely timeline. That Tua Tagovailoa has hip surgery at the end of 2019, and by April of 2020, he's 100%. I mean, that just is clearly hyperbole. Now, I guess he can't say I'm 95 or I'm 90 or 85 or I'm not quite where I want to be, because then that would cast some doubt on where he gets drafted or his health. But I mean, Mraz, is there any way you believe that Tua is actually 100% of what he was before the injury?
There's no way you could think that. There's no way. The moment it happened and the moment he went under the knife, the thought already was and the belief already was, and I think even from Tua himself, was he's more than willing to sit out. He's not going to be ready to play and take professional hits this fall. Now, as the time gets closer and closer to the draft, now suddenly the switch is flipped that he could absolutely be ready. How could anybody believe that? How could Tua himself believe that? What is with everybody just selling everybody a bag of goods this week in the sports world, whether it's the Brady lies and now the Tua lies? I can't do it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's an element of this where Tua just wants to ease all concerns, and so it's better to err on the side of, oh, yeah, I feel great, versus, yeah, I'm still getting there. But if you really want to parse this, it's a lie. It has to be a lie, because you can't be 4 months removed from major hip surgery and be exactly the way that you were before the hip surgery. It's just not humanly possible. And that's what he's basically saying, that he's 100%. Now, is it 100% of post-op, okay, that's a different definition of 100%, and that's the concern. Is it 100% of what he's always been? That he can't be. That's just not possible.
I also want to know, he's putting this out there and spinning this out there. Is there one of the 32 general managers in the NFL that believes this right now? Because it seems pretty obvious to you and I that we think this is not true, that this is a lie. But the only reason to put it out there is you're selling yourself and you believe that people are going to believe you. Can any NFL exec really believe that right now?
It's a great question. I mean, I think that executives want to believe that he's going to be fine, want to believe he's going to be 100%, want to believe that if they draft him, he can make a full recovery. And obviously, surgery and health and science and the medical procedures are so advanced these days that it's not the same as it was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, what have you. And you can't just make a connection to, say, Bo Jackson's hip and say, well, that happened and that ruined his career, etc. But if you are drafting Tua Tagovailoa, and today on April the 2nd, you believe Tua that he is 100% of where he was before the injury, then you're not taking into account any reality or any prior history or any prior information of how this is usually done. You cannot be 100% this soon after having major hip surgery. No way.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.